You know, for those of us who know Jesus as our personal Savior, this week is a holiday that's almost overlooked by the world. Have you noticed that? I mean, we just got to get to Christmas, right? We got to move right along. And but for us, it is Thanksgiving Day, right? And we should know who to give Thanksgiving to. It's not Turkey Day. It's not Gobble Day. It's not Football Day. It's Thanksgiving Day. And if you think about that for just a moment, we have our praise and worship service on Tuesday at 6:30. Remember, we're not meeting Wednesday. If you show up Wednesday, won't anybody be here. Will not be anybody here. But if you want to come out and praise and worship the Lord on that Tuesday, just a reminder of how thankful we should be to the Lord. But today's message, I'll tell you, is not specifically about Thanksgiving. But you know, Thanksgiving is two words put together, right? Thanks and giving, right? So even the holiday coming up is us giving our thanks to the Lord. And I really believe this. Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic? I want to know what God's Bible tells me about every subject. Don't you? I mean, I want to know what it has to say. I'm not really that concerned. Really, I don't mean this mean. I'm really not that concerned about your opinion. Sorry. And you really probably ought not be that concerned about my opinion. But I am concerned about what the Word of God says. Right? And if I'm truly, truly thankful, I will want to give to the Lord. If I have that heart of gratitude, again, it's not a specific Thanksgiving message, but it is. There is a relation between what we're going to talk about, giving to the Lord, and my attitude of gratitude that's in my heart as a child of God. You know, if I'm not grateful, there's a good chance I will not give to the Lord. But if I truly have the heart that I'm supposed to have, now I want an amen after I say this, okay, to make sure you agree with me. If I truly have the attitude of gratitude and the heart, the thankful heart that I should have, I should want to willingly give to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right, some of y'all agree with that. We're going to be looking at several passages. We've been in a series of messages. As far as I know, we got one more week and then probably we'll be done. But I don't know for positive. God doesn't always tell me way ahead of time how long. We've been in this a little while. As far as I know, it's the longest series I've ever had on money and giving. And this is part 9, a biblical perspective. Again, I'm concerned about God's perspective. I really am. I want to know what God's perspective is. And it would be great if God would just show up and right in front of me in physical form and say, well, this is what I believe about giving and money and all. But that doesn't happen. Instead, I got his book. I have his Bible. I have the very words of God. Today we're looking at specifically under a biblical perspective on money and giving. We've turned the corner to giving last Sunday, I believe, on giving. And then today we're going to look at, as we continue about giving, 6 questions that are going to be answered about giving to the Lord. About giving to the Lord. Now last Sunday morning we looked at 4 questions about giving to the Lord, and we answered the question. Today we're only going to look at 1 question, but it's got kind of a lengthy answer, okay? So last week, 4 questions. Question number 1, in way of review, how much should we give to the Lord? How much should we give to the Lord? Now we looked at it in a little bit of detail, but I can clearly say God's philosophy, God's idea behind it is the tithe plus. That was before the law, it continued through the law, and even in the New Testament, I believe it's amplified as it says, as God has prospered you. So a good place to start to give to the Lord is the 10% plus, the 10% plus. The second question we looked at last week, where should we give our money to the Lord? Where should we give our money? Now, a lot of people sometimes say, you know, is it okay if I help this Christian group that's on Good Things? I would simply say, yes, it's okay to help that group, but make sure that you give your tithe plus, your regular tithe plus, to the local church first. I believe in what's called storehouse giving. Storehouse giving. You know, the Bible talks about bringing it into the storehouse. And this is where, this is your local church. Now, if you're not a member, I'm not expecting you to give to God's house. Now, if you do, praise the Lord, God will bless you. But I hope that you feel strongly enough. You say, I want to join that church. I want to be part of that church. I want to be plugged into the church so I can serve and do whatever God wants me to do. But I firmly believe, according to God's word, and I'm not on an island because I know a lot of conservative pastors that feel the same way, that God's tithe ought to go to God's house. Beyond that, if you want to give to some other good cause, I'd encourage it to be a Christian cause, a good, solid Christian, biblically, doctrinally sound organization. If you want to do that, fine, but the giving should start at the local church. You see, I want everybody here as you stand before God to hear, well done. And I mean that. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So part of my responsibility is to let you know what God's word says. So how much should I give? 10% plus. Where should I give it? To the local church, the storehouse. Third, should we give to the Lord before or after taxes? And the reason I threw that in there, because I've heard people ask that. You know, am I supposed to give my 10% plus before taxes or after taxes? Well, the Bible has a very clear answer to that. It talks about giving God our first fruits. Our first fruits. I don't know about you, but first fruits sounds like it should be first, right? And if the government's going to get their share off the top, don't you think God ought to get his share before the government gets their share? So before taxes or deductions are taken out, I believe is the proper first fruit concept of the Word of God. Number four, how can we be out of balance with our giving? How can we be out of balance with our giving? When God's house and God's work is struggling, and yet we're living in houses that are nice and updated and everything is going good and we got plenty. Now, if that happens, we could be out of balance. Today we're going to be looking at the question, how should we give to the Lord? Question number five about giving. How should we give to the Lord? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. Would y'all smile at me? Now, I didn't say smirk. I said smile. Would y'all smile at me? This is a good thing. This is really a very good and applicable topic for Thanksgiving week. Now, if God had given me a pure Thanksgiving sermon, by golly, I'd have preached it. But by golly, he said, I want you to preach this. I want you to do this series, and that's what we're in. And really, we all need to learn what God's word tells us. You know, an excuse is not going to be, hopefully, for anybody at Oak Mount, well, I didn't know. I didn't know about this idea of tithing. I didn't know where it was supposed to go. I didn't know. And part of my responsibility as pastor is to encourage people in their walk with the Lord. And I'm encouraging people in this area of giving to the Lord. I want to know what God's word says about money. I want to know what God's word says about tithing. Right now we're answering the question, how should we give to the Lord? How should we give? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 to 4. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Now we're talking about an offering that Paul in his missionary journeys was collecting for the poor folks around Jerusalem. Everybody with me on that? And he gives some instructions on that offering for the poor folks around Jerusalem. And we can take that and put it in principle form and say, how should I give to the Lord? All right, it says. And he's writing, you got to keep in mind, he's writing to a local church, the Corinthian church. And he says, also, I've already told the churches of Galatia the same thing. Up on the first day of the week, isn't that something? We worship on the first day of the week, isn't that something? It says, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. Now, what's he saying? I'm going to take the offering, and it's in good hands, and whoever you want to go with me to see that the offering gets to Jerusalem, that'll be fine. But what I want to talk about, notice what it says. First of all, it was a church offering for the poor. A church offering for the poor. Secondly, notice it was taken on a certain day of the week, the first day of the week. Thirdly, I see here it should be set apart to the Lord, because it says, let every one of you, what? Every one of you lay by him in store. So you know what? We ought to determine what we're going to give to God. And right off the top, when we get our check, our payment, whatever income we're on right now, we ought to set it aside in our mind, and it may be in reality so that it's something's there and doesn't disappear, off the top, and lay it aside for God's work, for God's kingdom. Y'all with me on that? Okay. I'm going to have to jump over the rail or something to get some of you a little bit more enthused here, I think. Who wants to be our cheerleader today? Amy, you had a birthday. You're on the front up here. Now, I didn't want to say this to Bill. I didn't want to hurt his feeling. But Bill, did you shire this morning? Because there's nobody sitting around you at all. I don't know. I just thought I'd just share that with you just in case. I'm kidding, of course. But it should be set apart to the Lord. Let every one of you lay by him in store. Set it apart. Fourthly about this, it should be according as God has given to you. We talked about this last week. As God hath prospered you. As God hath prospered you. And I look around, God has prospered every one of us. Seriously, he has. Now, God has blessed some more financially than others. That's fine. And there's nothing wrong with having a good job. There's nothing wrong with having finances as long as you get things in proper perspective before the Lord. And don't leave God out. You know, as a general principle, normally those who struggle more with finances end up typically giving more to God than those that have lots of resources. Go scratch your head on that one a little bit, why don't you? All right, it should be according as God has given you. Number five, it should not be a distraction to the preaching of God's word. It says that there be no gathering when I come. You know, one thing we can do, we can get all worried about giving and all worried about finances in a church. We can. We can go, oh, whoa, it's me, I'm so worried. And when I'm up here preaching, all you're thinking about is running that wheel going in your brain thinking, oh, how are we going to pay for that? How are we going to do that? I just don't think that's the way God intended it. Do you? He said, don't even take the offering when I'm there because I'm preaching the Word of God. You know, I the most important part of the Word of God or the house of God gathering together, it's great to have singing, and I've already complimented that. But you know what the most important part is when we get in God's Word? Well, God bless the three of you that believe that. But it is important. It is important, the Word of God. And if anything is distracting us from the Word of God, we need to throw it out the window. Whether it be worry about this, that, or the other, whether finances or whatever, whether it's our personal finances or whatever, whether it's what I'm going to do this week, whatever, throw it out so that we can hear the message that God has for us. You know, it's amazing to me. If you think about it, basically, I have four sermons or lessons a week. Because I have Sunday school, I have Sunday morning worship, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. So four times a week. And there's 52 weeks. So about 200 times, and some people are like, we're a preacher. 200 times a year you preach, or you speak, or you devote, or whatever. And then throwing in funerals and throwing in different things and special activities and praise and worship services perhaps, or anything maybe out of the ordinary that may add. The only reason I'm saying that is not to say, whoa, that's a lot. The idea is I really feel and convinced really that when I stand behind the pulpit, I'm preaching what God wants me to preach. So if God is giving us a message, we need to do our best to open our ears and to focus with our minds on what God has for us that day. If not, we might miss it. We might miss it. Now, I think about a lot of the things, and this I'm going to put a little plug in here. Our Sunday school is not really doing too well right now. I mean, there's a handful up here. There's a handful downstairs. There's a handful. Really. I mean, we ought to be serious about the Word of God enough to come to Sunday school. And I look at some of y'all and I'm like, I can't figure it out. Now, if you got health issues and you can't, I get it. And you got other things divine. But if it's just, I just don't want to come to Sunday school, there's a problem between you and the Lord. I mean, Sunday school is good. We got some of the best teachers around in our Sunday school. I mean, what a blessing. Come out and be part of that. And the point, the overall point that I'm making, we don't need to be focused on other things other than the Word of God when we're sitting in the house of God, listening to the man of God, delivering the message of God to the child of God. We just need to be listening. Now, what else from this passage can we learn? How should we give to the Lord? The last thing from this passage, it should be a liberal offering. You know, I'm very conservative. I am biblically conservative. I don't know any way that I'm not conservative. But the one thing we should be liberal in is our giving. Did you notice that? It says in verse 3, "And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, then will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem." What's he saying? I want you to give abundantly to this offering, to the cause of Christ here. In the name of the poor people, I want you to give liberally. You see? You know, I'm thinking we ought to give faithfully to the Lord. If I had one word to put over this whole passage, how should we give to the Lord? We should give faithfully. Faithfully. You know, that's a good word. Faithfully. Being faithful. Now, that doesn't apply just to giving. That applies to every area of our life. You know, the Bible says it's required in a man that a steward be found faithful. Faithful. And we're stewards of all that God has given to us, right? And we're thankful on weeks like this for all the things that he has entrusted to us. And it says it's required that we be faithful. Faithful. But we should be faithful in our giving. You know, what if your newspaper, your daily newspaper, was only delivered like maybe two or three times a week? You'd have a problem with that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? No, nobody have a problem with that? Anybody have a problem with that? Or what if your mail only came two or three times a week? You'd have a problem with that, right? You expect them to be faithful. Can I tell you that God expects us to be faithful? And there's a good chance that if you don't make up your mind that you're going to be faithful in the area of giving to the Lord, you're not going to be faithful. How should we give? First of all, faithfully. Secondly, how should we give? Cheerfully. Cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6. We should give cheerfully. Listen to this. It says, it's also talking about the offering for the poor, but notice what it says around Jerusalem because of famine or hardship. They were really struggling. It says in verse 6, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man as, according as he purposeth in his heart." Huh. There should be a plan. We should purpose and say, "I'm going to give this much to the Lord." "So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." You see, we find in verse 6 a reaping and sowing principle. God will bless you for giving bountifully to the Lord. Isn't that principle there? "He that sows sparingly shall reap sparingly." It's talking about an offering here. He that gives us, you know, a lot of people think they've done God a favor when the offering plate comes around, they stick a dollar in there. And if they're embarrassed about the dollar, they fold it so you can't see the one. And you just think, well, it could be a 5, could be a 10, could be a 20, could be a 50, could be a 100. We don't know. Seriously. I've known Christians that seem to think they're doing God a favor. God is not going to bless your socks off if you're stingy with your money to God. That's just, hello out there. I'm going to bring that podium and get down there in front. I'm going to get so close, I'm going to spit on you when I hit a high point. But let me tell you, we really got to get serious about that. If we want God to bless us, we need to be a blessing to God. And it says, this reaping and sowing principle. You sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. If you sow a little, you're going to reap a little. In verse 7, we need to make up our mind and resolve to give to the Lord. As it says, as every man according as he purposeth in his heart. We need to make up our mind. I'm going to do what God's word tells me to do. Whether it makes sense or not, whether it's what I want to do or not, I'm going to do. We got to make up our mind. Thirdly, I see in this passage, we should not begrudge giving to the Lord. It says, not grudgingly. You know, some people may give to the Lord, but the Lord's looking at our heart. And you might give to the Lord's work, but you're like, I really don't want to do this, but I'll do it because, boom. Well, I tell you what, I'm sure going to miss that money I gave. You know, we're just kind of grumbling about it as we do it. You know, if God's looking at the heart, you know, you might get a little blessing because of that, but you're going to miss the majority of that blessing because your heart is not right. You need to say, not begrudgingly give it. It says also, not of necessity. If you give to the Lord because a preacher says we need to, or you know, well, you know, I guess we should. It's like, not because you necessity, because you have to. It goes on to say, what's it say in that verse in particular? It says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. A cheerful giver. Yeah, I guess what we ought to do, and I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the offering at all by choice. I don't want to, you know, I'm up here doing other things. And that's the way it'll be. It's between you and the Lord whether you give or not. But you know what? Maybe we should put a camera and just a camera on each one of you individually and see how happy you are when you give your money. It says we're supposed to give cheerfully. Cheerfully. You know, what happens when your team wins? You're cheerful, right? What happens when you get an unexpected blessing in the mail? They give you a refund back from something that you didn't even know you was going to get. You're kind of cheerful, right? Now, it should be that same idea, that same way. The word is hilarious. That's the Greek word. You know what word we get from that? Hilarious. You know, someone says, that's hilarious. That means they're laughing at it. They're laughing at it. There's a joy. Our giving ought to be with joy. Not begrudgingly, but merrily, hilariously, joyfully, cheerfully. And what does it say in verses 8 and 9? What's it talks about? Talk about God is able to make all grace abound towards you. As always, having all sufficiency in all things. Notice how all keeps popping up in that verse? In all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. What's he saying? God will bless you for giving cheerfully to the Lord. And it says the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I want to make sure that I'm making God happy. Aren't you? Because he's really the only one that really matters is we make happy. Now, it's fine to make people happy when you can, but ultimately we're trying to make God happy. So how should we give? First of all, we should give faithfully. Second, we should give cheerfully. Cheerfully. How many of you like going to the dentist? Now, even if you did, you don't want to raise your hand because you don't want to be looked at as strange. Because most of us are like, and I figured out the older I get, the less I like going to the dentist. Not that I ever liked it, but I repulse it even more. Just the opposite of that. Now, some of you act like you're going to the dentist probably when you give. No, just because I know human nature. But it ought not be that way. We ought to be, boy, I'm excited to give to the Lord. Not to make a show of it, But at least on the inside, there ought to be some joy. I get to give to the Lord. How should we give to the Lord? Faithfully, cheerfully, thirdly, and there's four. Thirdly, sacrificially. Look at Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Now, you're familiar with this passage to some degree. I'm sure you've heard of this, but I want to drive home a point here from this passage of Scripture. And it says, this actually happened. This is not a parable, okay? This actually happened. It says, and from what I understand, in the temple there were places, like almost like upside down type of bugles or trumpets that were stationed throughout the temple where people could put money in. Okay, so Jesus is observing people as they're putting money in. Notice what it says. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, and behold how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. So Jesus is watching this, and this offering plate, if you will, and some people are putting a bunch of money in there. But someone stands out to Jesus. And there came a certain, notice this, poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which maketh farthing. Now, I did a little bit of research on that, because we don't use the term mite. The mite was the smallest Jewish coin in circulation in Palestine. So our smallest is a penny. Now, I'm not saying it's equivalent to a penny, but it's the smallest that they had in currency, as our penny would be to us. Two of these coins make up 1/64th of a Roman denarius, which is a day's wage for a laborer. So it wasn't much. It was not much. 1/64th of a day's wage for a laborer. But she threw two mites in there. And this was such a blessing to the Lord, an encouragement, a teaching moment. He called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow, notice widow, widow, poor, poor widow. There was no government assistance at this point for widows, okay? Hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Yeah, you say, whoa, that's not right. They just said that some put in a great amount, and then she throws in two mites. And then he explains it, because I'm sure the disciples are going, huh? God's looking at the heart, right? For all they did cast in of their, what's that word? Abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Whoa. Now this is kind of hard teaching here. You know, every once in a while you get on a topic, you're like, whoa. And you're like bowled over. That woman had faith. She's a poor widow. She has two mites. It sounds like, if I'm understanding this right, this is all she has. That's it. She can't even buy any more bread or anything, or flour or oil or anything. This is it. But she decides she's going to give sacrificially to the Lord. Something that costs her something. In this case, it cost her everything that she based all of her savings. Two pits, two mite. Pew. Wow. Now, sacrifice is not something we Americans know a whole lot about. I'm not being mean. I'm just observing. But you know, our giving to the Lord, at least at times, should be sacrificially. You know, we give, if we want to be commended, and she was commended, and when you say the widow's mite, we automatically think, oh, positive, boy. I mean, right? If I'd say widow's mite, and I didn't turn to it, and hadn't said anything, you think, oh, positive. Yeah, she gave what she had. if we want to be remembered or recognized by the Lord in His way, where it won't be recorded in Scripture, but I want to be thought of in a good way from the Lord, she gave sacrificially. And that left an impression. Have you ever thought about giving sacrificially to the cause of Christ? You know, I just wonder how many things we could do outside the normal box as a church. If everybody gave at least 10% plus, and if some, as directed by God, would even give sacrificially. Can you imagine, I mean, what we could do outside that box for the cause of Christ? Let's think about that. How should we give? How should we give? First of all, we should give faithfully. Second, we should give cheerfully. Thirdly, we should give sacrificially. You know, serving the Lord costs us something. You know, that's not what the preachers on television typically tell you. Typically. I know there's some good preachers on television, but there's a lot of preachers on television who are false preachers and teachers. And it's all about you and nothing about Jesus. It's all about what God wants to give you. But God also wants us to give to Him. David said in 2 Samuel 24:24, "Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which costs me nothing." That was his resolve. You know, I'm not going to give God something that doesn't cost me something. I'm going to sacrifice to the Lord. Last way we should give is bountifully. Did you notice that word? Liberality, we've already looked at it in 1 Corinthians 16:3 about, I want to take this offering, this your liberality to the poor in Jerusalem. So it talks about liberality. What is that speaking of? Being bountiful. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, we'll look back at that in just a moment. 2 Corinthians 9:6, notice what it says. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he which soweth," there's that word, "bountifully, shall reap also bountifully." There's two examples, but I want to share with you briefly two examples from the Old Testament. Now, these are two stories. It's almost like, now, people are people. Y'all agree with that? Human nature is human nature. Y'all agree with that? The sin nature is the sin nature. Y'all agree with that? Okay, so we're going to look at two examples briefly in the Old Testament where people gave bountifully to the Lord. One of them is found in Exodus chapter 36. Exodus chapter 36. Now, this is when they were building the tabernacle, you know, the tabernacle that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness wanderings. Remember, they build it and then they disassemble it and take it whenever the cloud and the pillar of fire by night would move. And they say, okay, we got to take it and move it. And it kind of was a portable worship house, if you will, for God. Y'all with me on that? In Exodus 36, this is talking about the building of that tabernacle or sanctuary. Notice Exodus 34 verses 3 to 7. Now here's an example of bountiful giving to the Lord. This is kind of like blew my brain. It says, "And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him freewill offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much." Wow. Now listen. Isn't that a cool story? God says, I want you to build a tabernacle. It's one of those portable. Now, it was huge. It was ornate. God said, this is exactly, he gave him specific details. And he says, guess what? We're going to take up an offering to build this thing. And the workers came back to Moses and said, we don't need any more money. We got enough stuff. Tell them to quit giving because they're giving too much. I've been in church my whole life. I was taken to church before I was born. 9 months before I was born, I was in church. And I've been in church my whole life. I've been in little churches. I've been in huge churches. I've been in churches as small as about 10 people. I've been in churches probably with 3,000 or 4,000 people on Sunday morning. So I've been in a variety of churches and a lot of sizes in between. I have never heard the preacher get up and say, all right now, we're not going to take up an offering today because we got enough money. Actually, we got too much. We got to figure some ways to put it to work for God in ministry. Well, isn't that a cool story? There's another one. They were building the temple. This is found in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Now, this was the permanent building, if you will, in Jerusalem, 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Notice this, verses 8 to 12. 2 Chronicles 24, verses 8 to 12. Now this is King Joash. He wants to restore the temple because the temple has fallen into disrepair. Notice what it says in verse 8. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. So, do you picture that? It sounds like they put a big chest outside of the temple that was in disrepair. Okay? Verse 9. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring in to the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And it says in verse 12, and the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. Our minds are a picture gallery, and I'm a pretty picture kind of guy, image in the brain. Can you picture a great big old chest? Every day it got filled up. They would take it and empty it, bring it back. The next day it got filled up, and they took it back and emptied it, brought it back out. The next day it got filled up for the restoring of the temple. Wow. You know, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the offerings. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the offering plates. But I don't think there's ever been a time that the offering plate was humped up about like this. And Jerry had to say, hey, could someone help me with this offering plate? It's a little bit on the heavy side. Aren't those two really cool stories? But they teach us that our giving should be bountiful. It should be plenteous to the Lord. I really think that if everybody that was truly born again would give what God asks us to give, tells us to give, we wouldn't have to scratch our heads sometimes and say, well, I wonder how we're going to pay for that. Or we would, And we could do things outside the box of usual ministry. We could say, you know what, let's do this. Well, that's going to cost money, preacher. That's all right. We took the chest and emptied it and come back and it got full again. And really, I had to tell people to quit giving. I really think things like that could happen, don't you? Okay, nobody believes that. You believe that, Amy? I really believe that God could do some amazing things monetarily. God does amazing things in our church. He has from the beginning. He has 20 years ago. He has 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, and now. But I'm telling you, I think God could do even more amazing things if we would simply give what God asks us and tells us to give to the cause of Christ. The topic today was, how should we give? We should give faithfully. We should give cheerfully. We should give sacrificially. And we should give bountifully. You know, I like vanilla ice cream. How many of you like vanilla ice cream? But I got a catch. I got a little asterisk I'd have to put underneath it and say, with chocolate syrup. I mean, vanilla ice cream is kind of boring, but you put syrup on it now, and I don't like just a little bit of syrup. I mean, I have a little bit of ice cream with my chocolate syrup when I... Now, yeah, like pumpkin pie and Cool Whip. I have a little bit of pumpkin pie with my Cool Whip. So, needless to say, I like a lot. I like it to be bountiful. I like for it to be plenteous. You know, God would love to see his offerings bountiful and plenteous and overflowing. Today, we've talked about how should we give to the Lord. How should we give to the Lord? Are you so thankful and grateful to the Lord that you're giving back to the Lord? Are you giving to the Lord? Won't you think about this? And don't think about anybody else. Just think about you. Are you giving to the Lord faithfully? Faithfully. Faithfully. Are you giving to the Lord cheerfully? Are you giving to the Lord sacrificially? And are you giving to the Lord bountifully? I guess my question for you, if not, if you had to say no to any of those, why not? Why not? Do you really trust God? Do you think God can do anything? And if not, when are you going to change it? If not, you say, no, preacher, I don't give faithfully, cheerfully, sacrificially, or bountifully. Or I do one or two, but the other. If not, when are you going to change that? You know, I don't know if you noticed it or not, but you're getting older. Time is passing. I'm amazed at just going like that. It's like crazy. So when are you going to say, okay, God, I get it. I get it. I'm supposed to give faithfully, cheerfully, sacrificially, and bountifully. And by golly, with God's help, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'd like to know the percentage of how many sermons we preach that people might hear and they might even agree with it, but they never follow through with it. I guess I'm really just challenging you. Why not get a hold of the message today? Get a hold of what God's Word says.